Hello, Internet. This is Ewan Spence, CSE Insight, and Eurovision again calling. Join us as we join Eurovision again and we all travel back to Madrid, Spain, and the Eurovision Song Contest 1969. Yes, good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Welcome to another companion podcast for Eurovision again. For myself, Ewan Spence, the team at ESE Insight, and some guests along the way as well. With the Eurovision Song Contest 11 months away and the summer stretching out ahead of us, what better way to spend some time with the community and returning to the contests of old? It's the furthest back Eurovision again has reached so far, and it's a contest that has some massive moments. You have Salvador Dali designing the posters, you have the first colour TV broadcast from Spain, and of course, all that discussion around the winners. As with our companion podcast last year, we've partnered with the Eurovision Again team to bring you a show with that looks at the music of the day, the stories from the national finals, the memories around the contest, and much more. In this episode, we'll look at the state of pop music in 1969. We'll take a walk through those national selections for some stories and some familiar names, and we'll have our first podcast postcard from the Teatro Real venue in Madrid. First up, though, here's AJ Clay to look over the rules for the 14th Eurovision Song Contest.
"1969 is more famous for not having a rule than any of the actual rules. Yes, it's the year of the infamous four-way tiebreak. And while there have been countless bouts of historical revisionisms to declare Country X as the winner, the history books still say four winners. We're a few years away from the introduction of the classic 12 points system. Instead, we have a system that feels like, how many slices of cake shall we give each song? Each jury had 10 points, and they could split them up however they wanted. For example, Italy gave 4 points to Monaco, 3 to the UK, and 3 to the Netherlands. Meanwhile, France gave the Netherlands a concentrated 6 points, while Belgium spread the love, giving out 7 single points and 1 block of 3 points to the Netherlands. This was also the first year that S4C organised the A Song for Wales contest, with a view to Wales entering its own song. The winner was Margaret Williams with Y Cwilt Cymraeg, the Welsh quilt. There was no rule change per se, but the sovereign state rules were, shall we say, highlighted. As for that tiebreak, 1970 would see a super final runoff to see if the juries could decide in a head-to-head, and if not, then it would stay as a tie. Just imagine the overrun if there was another four-way tie today.
And we'll be more from AJ later on in the show, as well as a delightful look at our venue for the 1969 contest, the Teatro Real. Before getting to Eurovision, though, as always, we saw many songs and names fall at the national final stages. Spain internally selected Salome as their artist for the contest, but they did have a national selection to choose her song. And it's performed not just by her, but by another artist as well. In joint second place was the song Palabras, Words, which was also sung by Daniel Velázquez, and Amigos Amigos, Friends Friends, was sung also by Lorenzo Valverde. Both scored 8 points, and as history shows, they were narrowly beaten by Vivo Cantando, which scored 47 points. Up in Ireland, our fifth entry to the Eurovision Song Contest saw all four previous representatives returning to the selection to try again for another ticket. Second place on the night, scoring 8 points, was a young singer, Dana, Look Around, and Muriel Day narrowly won with The Wages of Love, scoring 30 points. So, 6 Eurovision performers in one national final, 4 previously, that year, and the year following. We think that's a record. Let us know in the comments back at ESEinsight.com. Over in Italy, looking at 1969 as a year of lots of pop music at the contest, Italy sent a big Italian ballad. Of course they did. Iva Zanishi and Bobby Solo won San Remo, much like Spain, with the same song sung by two artists, which San Remo did for many, many years. That song, Zingara, has remained a San Remo standard, showing up on covers night in various interval tributes through the years and decades. But it wasn't a song that went to the song contest. There was a switch around with another song taking its place. And that finished in 13th place, and maybe RAI made the wrong choice in replacing Zingara with De Grosse Lacrimi Blanche. Louis Neef, up in Belgium. The man Matt Smith probably cosplayed with when he was deciding on his look for Doctor Who returned to represent Belgium. Following the selection of a song about a fictional woman called Jennifer Jennings, a Jennifer Jennings in the UK got in touch and received an invite to one of his concerts following the contest. Staying in the UK, Lulu was always going to be the representative for the United Kingdom at the song contest, showcasing six songs over 6 weeks on her own imaginatively titled Saturday show, Lulu. In the mix, but not winning through, was I Can't Go On Living Without You by a young duo of Bernie Taupin and Elton John. Also another duo there, Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber, actually submitted a song called Try It and See. I didn't even make it through to Lulu, but it made a cut later on as it was later reworked to be King Herod's song in Jesus Christ Superstar. Still, maybe Lloyd Webber would try again in the future.
Oh, try it and see, won't you try it with me? You could be so good for me, I could give you energy. Your love is for free, won't you try it and see? I could be so good for you too.
And that's your national selections. Let's head back to AJ Clay and the State of Pop.
The UK singles chart was distinctly laid back and soulful in the week of the 1969 contest, with one flame-haired exception. Denniston's finest export, Lulu, saw her Eurovision entry Boom Bang A Bang rise from 22 to 9. Meanwhile, 1967 Eurovision winner Sandy Shaw had chosen a distinctly saucy continental path with her number 8 hit Monsieur Dupont. Elsewhere, The Temptations urged us to get ready, Joe South offered a scathing commentary on society and games people play, and the Hollies just wanted to say, sorry, Suzanne. But it was Marvin Gaye's classic, I Heard It Through the Grapevine, that held the top spot, displacing the excellently moustached Peter Sarsstedt and his faux continental waltz, Where Do You Go To, My Lovely? We can only assume he wrote it just for fun, for a laugh, ha ha ha. In the UK album chart, The Best of the Seekers held the number one spot. 1969 would of course be the year the band would break up, and Keith Potker would found the New Seekers, who would then go on to represent us in Eurovision 1972 with Beg, Steal or Borrow. Across Europe, Eurovision entries had a strong presence in the charts. In Ireland, Muriel Day's The Wages of Love was number one, while Tommy Sjöberg's Judy Min Vän reigned supreme in Sweden. There's much stealth Eurovision to be had in the charts as well. Carina's Spanish chart topper Las Flechas del Amor, The Arrows of Love, ruling the roost for 6 weeks, was a sprightly cover of English singer Lippi Lee's Little Arrows. The song would soon be covered in Sweden by none other than everyone's favourite Renorama Ding Dong legend Eva Rose, with lyrics by future ABBA manager Stikkan Andersson. Italy was swaying to the sultry sound of Nada's Ma Che Freddo Fa, which didn't quite scoop the top prize at Sanremo. Over in France, they were seemingly huge fans of Kazachok, an adaptation of a popular USSR military song. In fact, they were such big fans, they sent Israeli singer Rika Zarai's version to the top and ended Dmitri Durakin's mighty 12-week reign at number one with the same song. 60s France there, walking so that Bryan Adams and Wet 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 could run in the 90s. Rika has a connection to the 1969 contest with her French cover of Vivo Cantando, Alors Je Chante. And future UK hopeful Engelbert Humperdinck was doing what he does best in Belgium with the croontastic The Way It Used to Be. Beatlemania's grip was still evident, with Lady Madonna number one in Switzerland and Marmalade's cover of Obla Di Obla Da rocking Norway. Kirsti Sparbe had to content herself with number three with her last place Eurovision offering, Oi Oi Oi, So Glad Jaiska Bli. In Germany, Scottish folk star Donovan dabbled in spoken word mythology with Atlantis, which would go on to soundtrack gritty mob film Goodfellas. Netherlands' The Cats brought the string-laden air-grab drama to the charts with Why, while Finland's Tapani Kansa took a Hollies esque song to the top, Kuljen tas kautin pain, or I'm Going Home Again. Yugoslavian charts proved elusive, but one of the year's big hits came from Grupa Mladi Levi, the subtly named Young Left. They strutted their funky stuff with Zaznamovan, released on the mighty Jugoton, the Zagreb-based label who brought out many pioneering funk, prog and jazz acts, beloved of record collectors hankering after some Yugo nostalgia bangers.
And that was the State of Pop. But now, let's take a trip into the venue, the Teatro Real, hosting the Eurovision Song Contest 1969. And I wanted to find out a little bit more. So, welcome to our first podcast postcard, as Tatiana Benendovskaya from the local Madrid walking tour company Ogo Tours takes us into the Teatro Real.
First of all, Madrid is definitely, I can tell you for sure, that it's one of the most beautiful and amazing cities in the world. Now, Teatro Real, our Teatro Real is actually also one of the most beautiful and most important theaters in Europe, even though a lot of people do not know that much about it. I mean, it's not that famous as La Scala in Milan or is opera in Vienna, no? But our theater is almost is actually 200 years old, almost already. They started the construction in 1818, so 2 years ago it was 200 years since the beginning of the construction. And it is one of the biggest theaters in Europe as well, because we're speaking about 22 floors in total. We're speaking about 14 floors up and 8 floors underneath, underground. So it's really, really, really huge. And actually, under the theater, we used to have water, what was making acoustics in the theater even more special. Because of that, we also had some problems with the humidity in the theater. It's also fair to say. The scenery is about 975 square meters, okay? And as I told you, we're speaking about more than 1,700 persons at the in one moment inside, no, that can watch the show. When we speak about Eurovision and Teatro Real, actually it was a little bit criticized, probably, well, for sure you knew it was a little bit criticized because they were saying that it is very small theater for such an important contest as is Eurovision, especially at that time, no? We're speaking about the 60s, but everybody was still absolutely impressed with the theater. And even though, maybe, I don't know if you have been to Madrid, but if you have seen the theater, at least on the pictures, maybe from outside, it doesn't attract that much attention because it's neoclassical, no? When you get inside, you get impressed. It's absolutely beautiful. It's full of luxury, gold, beautiful colors, no? Fantastic stage. It's very, very high, as I told you. In total, we're speaking about, like, from the very ground floor until the top, about almost 100 meters, no? So, actually, it's also one of the favorite theaters of our kings of Spain. They do come to the Teatro Real until today every single year. They do have their Palco Real.
Teatro Tatiana Benedovskaya there from Ogo Tours. Thank you very much there. And if you're in Madrid looking for a walking tour from a local company, do pay them a visit. Ogo Tours, OGOTOURS.com. Thank you also to AJ Clay and the team at ESC Insight for all the delightful bits of information and trivia that we've come across in the show. Thanks also to the Eurovision Again team for putting everything on again.vision if you want to find out more on the website, and the team at Eurovision.tv for another restoration and supporting this whole delightful Saturday night of entertainment for another year. Of course, thank you all out there as well, both for listening to the Combining podcast and joining in with Eurovision Again. Looking forward to looking back in the next Again show with you, but for now, as always, be kind, stay safe, and let's have our guitars. You've been listening to ESC Insight's Eurovision Again companion podcast from Madrid 1969, hosted by Ewan Spence and written by Ewan Spence and AJ Clay. www.escinsight.com, www.again.vision.